Chris Moore.
Sports Radio 1019 FM and Sports Radio 66
WFAN. All right, the Mother's Day edition, final hour of it before Lori Rubenson gets here at 10 o'clock. She'll take you into your Monday morning here on The Fan in New York City. Great to have you with us. It was a rainy one, man. Was it a rainy one? All day and a good part of tomorrow, I guess, as well, will be raining. So that will set us up for an interesting golf tournament this weekend, as if they didn't like to have long rough for their majors anyway. Not U.S. Open rough, but I imagine it'll be pretty deep and pretty thick over at Bethpage Black. We've got Matt Casey, Pete Hoffman on the other side of the glass, and we're pleased to be joined now by David Dusick, Golf Week's senior writer, course raider. You can find him on Twitter at golfweek_Dusek. And David, Chris Moore in New York, how are you?
Good evening. I'm well. How are you?
Good. Where are you?
I am in home in Connecticut.
You're aware of the weather.
Oh, unfortunately, yeah. My lawn and I are all too aware of the weather.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I don't have to educate you on that before asking the question about what do you think it means to Bethpage Black, knowing that we had what we had today, and we're expected to have the same tomorrow and even into Tuesday morning.
Tuesday, yeah,
before things start to get a little bit better by Wednesday. Not a lot of practice time for these guys and brutal conditions to practice in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a couple of guys I know, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, snuck out on the golf course earlier last week when the weather conditions were actually pretty good. I was at Bethpage 2 weeks ago and did a little bit of recon work in the course. You know, the spring's been terrible. I mean, this is not exactly a newsflash to anybody who lives around here. It's been wet. It's been cold. It's been fantastic conditions to grow the kind of grass that grows on your golf courses and such like that. So the course is in tremendous shape, but it's obviously soaked. It's absolutely just going to be a slog for the first couple of days and through the practice rounds. And so what's going to be difficult for guys is, number one, just trying to acclimate themselves to exactly how the golf course is going to play, not just when they're playing it when it's wet, if they get out there on Monday and Tuesday and the forecast is awful and maybe it's a little bit better on Wednesday, but trying to project how it's going to set up for them when the championship actually begins on Thursday. And it doesn't look like we're going to get much warmer than 60 or 65 degrees out in Farmingdale, but exactly, it's going to be hard to practice on a golf course knowing that it's probably going to change. Good news for the guys is that this is a PGA championship. We're not going to, as you had said at the end, you know, get U.S. Open rough. 3 or 4 inches around the size of the fairways and around the green complexes, if you go way off, there's plenty of fescue. There's deep rough out there. You get what you deserve. But it's a much more playable golf course. Hopefully weather helps out a little bit, but it should be a little bit more playable than what we saw certainly in 2002 and 2009 when it was wet for the U.S. Open.
Still a big hitter's golf course, though, right?
Absolutely. No, you're going to have to move the ball. I mean, I think a lot of players who don't really move it and aren't really able to bust it with a driver, they're going to have a challenge, especially if it's wet. When a golf course is firm and you're playing in a dry, warm conditions, when the ball lands, it'll roll out. So players who don't send it as hard as Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy can get some roll and be able to play it a little bit more. When the golf course is wet and soft, then it's going to land off the tee and it's going to stop. And contrary to what some people believe, where like, hey, you know, a short hitter can hit longer clubs into greens and the ball will stop, the big hitters are going to be able to fly it way out there. They're going to hit shorter clubs. They're going to be able to be more aggressive into some of these green complexes. And the greens, are, for championship-level golf, they're challenging, but they're not Augusta National greens. They're not Oakmont greens. They're not as tough. That's not the real test that Bethpage presents. Bethpage presents really a driving and a ball-striking challenge, much more than a putting challenge. So I think looking at the forecast and just knowing how Bethpage has played in the past, this is, you're going to have to be a big hitter if you're really going to probably be on the leaderboard Sunday.
That's good insight there from David Dusek of Golf Week on this tournament and the tee to green play that is going to be necessary here. How difficult is it to quantify what Tiger's win at the Masters meant for the rest of this golf season, particularly the majors?
Well, I mean, when you get Masters winners, you know, and exciting finishes like we always seem to get, it's certainly on the front page of the sports section. What you saw was Tiger's win was the lead news item pretty much everywhere around the world, and it's just been phenomenal for the industry, and it really creates a lot of buzz just around the whole sport of golf. The fact that it's interesting, he hasn't played since he won the Masters. He's going to be playing the first 2 rounds with Brooks Koepka, who's the 2-time defending U.S. Open champion. He won the PGA last year over Tiger Woods, and he's playing also with Francesco Molinari, who outdueled him last year at Carnoustie and ended up winning the British Open. So you've got a stellar group there. But as far as what it's meant to golf and the industry and the buzz, it's off the charts. I mean, he is one of arguably the two or three biggest athletes, you know, on the planet still, after the off-course controversy, after all the back surgeries and everything. He demonstrated with that win. We got a taste of it last year in Atlanta, the Tour Championship. We won his first PGA Tour event. But when you saw him win the Masters, it was seismic, absolutely seismic. And so whenever any sport gets an athlete like that to perform on the biggest stage, it has a ripple effect through the whole season. We'll be riding that out.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. And the anticipation for this, his name will be in the lead most of the time. Tiger Woods and, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the way it works in this sport right now. And that's what we expect to have. I want to ask you about Jordan Spieth just because I think a lot of golf fans miss him. They want him to be near the top. He doesn't need to win, but he needs to be relevant. And right now he's not. What do we make of it? How is it being handled internally? And, you know, we know what this sport can do. We know that you don't get anything for what you've done in the past. One of the things we love about it, but it's a double-edged sword. You can disappear in a hurry. Where are we with him?
You know, Jordan Spieth in 2015 wins the Masters, wins the U.S. Open, nearly wins the British as the runaway player of the year. And I think that first and foremost, you know, he won an awful lot awfully quickly, you know, at a young age. And so he set a bar that's going to be very hard for him to attain. And what happened, I think, over the course of really 2017, and we saw it again in 2018, is that his ball striking went down, meaning his virtuoso performances with the irons, which were really, you know, everybody saw Jordan Spieth making putt after putt after putt, but he really was one of the elite guys with the irons on the PGA Tour. That has slipped. And in his search for that, to some degree also, and I've asked him about this, he said there were such minor little things that people wouldn't pick up on television, but when he stood over putts and was out there, he felt different. That things looked different. And that's got to be a weird thing for an athlete to get. Almost like when a pitcher is holding the ball just the right way, feels like the release point is right, the seams, everything is good, but the curveball hangs. Or the fastball doesn't have the pop to it. Or a quarterback who throws, everything feels good, but the ball floats. And so they end up throwing interceptions. And that's sort of where he was for a lot of last year. Everything just felt a little bit off, and he really hasn't been able to get it going, which doesn't mean that it's not there. He's had streaks and runs in one round here or a hot nine holes or something there where you can see the talent is undeniable. But he has not been able to put it together for four rounds, and really he's searching at this point, which is not a place where any athlete, let alone a golfer, you don't get the coaching. It's not where you want to be heading into a major.
No, it's just not where you want to be, period. You want to find it again, and you're absolutely right. Yep. I mean, and we've all, it's funny because that part of the golf game with the putter in particular, any amateur player that plays any amount at all knows the feeling when you're hot and when you're not, and you can't capture it, you can't bring it with you, and you can't put it in your locker and bring it out the next time you play. It's it comes and goes for a lot of people, but when it happens to the pros, we take notice, and because he was so young and because he was so likable and good for the sport and had the relationship with Justin Thomas and Ricky and all these guys coming up together, we miss him. And Rory is another one. I mean, Rory, by now, we thought would be farther along and by now would be closing out tournaments on Sundays and would be a guy that would be hard to catch, that you don't want to get behind Rory. And it just hasn't really happened the way a lot of us had it written down or figured out.
Funny how life works that way, right?
Yeah. You know,
like we're the ones out here not swinging the clubs or throwing the ball or whatever. But Rory obviously is won once. He won a Players' Championship, which is a great tournament to win. It's super elite field on a really hard golf course at TPC Sawgrass. But he's had numerous chances and, frankly, spit the bit on Sundays.
I mean, pretty much.
You don't really like to say it, but it's right there in front of you. He needs to put it together also. I mean, it's funny that he is one of the three or four guys who I look at as being the absolute most purely talented golfers out there. You know, he's working with Brad Faxon to try and shore up and improve his putting, and it's getting better. There's no denying the stats are right there. In my mind, he's the best driver of the golf ball on the planet. I mean, he is, with a driver, I think, without equal. But there is something between the years right now that when it's Sunday and he should really excel, he should elevate his game and put people away. He's failed to do that in most cases. And you can take a look at it in one of two ways. The positive is he's had a lot of opportunities and he's putting himself in position to win. the pessimistic view is that once he gets into a good spot, he's shooting himself in the foot. He shot high numbers, and he should have won more. And I think he would be the first person to say that, yeah, winning a Players is good, and it is, but he's thirsty for a lot more than what he's been able to do so far this year.
Yeah, it's just hard to read how competitive a lot of these guys are now, and that's across the board in sports because the finances are so good that everybody's sleeping well at night financially.
I would argue that when you get to McIlroy's position and to some degree Spieth and Ricky Fowler and a couple of these guys, that an extra 10 or 20 million, which is just astronomical sums, it doesn't matter. Like to Rory McIlroy, if another 10 or 20 million dollars hits his bank account, does it change the way he lives? Does it change, like, all of a sudden? Like,
right, they, right.
Now that you reach a point where, like, okay, I'm set. Everybody who's ever going to be related to me is set. My dad is set. My mom is set. Like, I just want to win titles.
Right.
I want to do whatever I can to win championships. We've seen that come into play in other sports as well. And I think that Rory's there where it's really not about the money because he's got so much of it. It's about the pride and wanting to win it. And that's actually tougher sometimes to deal with.
Yeah, and that's true competitiveness. And you watch players and you can tell some guys are extremely competitive and other guys it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell with Dustin Johnson.
Absolutely.
It's hard to tell with certain players how much losing hurts them. So as we watch and we kind of want to know, we are more comfortable when we know, we try to get that insight. Who else are we watching this weekend and who else do you have eyes on? Maybe a DJ, maybe a Justin Thomas, obviously Kepka.
I think it's going to be chalk. You know, I think that this is going to be one of those tournaments where it's going to be very difficult. You know, we just had Sung Kang win at the AT&T Byron Nelson today.
Yeah, and Homa before that. And, there's been no names winning.
I don't see that here. I see this is going to be someone we're going to know who this player is. And, you know, again, I don't mean to be a broken record here. I think it's going to have to be an elite driver, a big hitter. I think it's going to have to be someone who is willing to get hot. And if the golf course conditions, especially on Thursday and Friday, when it's going to be the softest, that they're going to be showing somebody who's capable of going low. And I really like Justin Thomas. I don't think that he's done a whole heck of a lot by his standards this year. He has shown that he's willing to make a lot of birdies. He shot 59, I believe it was last year in Hawaii when he did that. He's won a PGA championship again, albeit when it was played in August, not in May. But he ticks every box. Good driver, excellent iron player, experience on a big stage. If he's in one of the last groups, he's not going to shy away from that. He feels he deserves, and that's where he's meant to be. I also kind of like Ricky Fowler, to be honest with you, potentially to break through. Doesn't hit it quite as far as a couple of the guys that we've mentioned, you know, the Tony Finaus and the Bubba Watsons of the world. But he's a sneaky good putter. His stats this year have been down a little bit, but he has historically been a very good putter. He'll have a lot of crowd support. And I think that he's really sort of rounding into form. I saw him, you know, leaving the Masters this year, and you talk about, you know, how much does it bother him to lose? He was pissed. He was really disappointed and really frustrated that he lost the tournament on Thursday. You know, he let his first round get away. He just couldn't make up the ground over the last couple rounds when guys were scoring. And that is, you know, frustrating for him. It could be a sign of something to come. He's been there. He's come very close on multiple times. I wouldn't be shocked if Ricky Fowler gets it done.
David, good conversation. We appreciate you taking time on a Sunday night. Enjoy the tournament. Thanks.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
There you go. David Dusek of Golf Week. Good conversation there. He says keep an eye on Fowler, Justin Thomas. As I mentioned earlier, there's a chance, if nothing happens between now and Thursday, that for the first time ever, the top 100 rated players in the world will all show up on the same day. For various reasons, it has never happened before in golf, but it could happen this time because all 100 are entered, and now it's just a matter of being able to stay healthy between now and then and get there and have no travel problems or anything else, and we'll finally have that happen.